Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show, co-host show with you all here this weekend. As always, happy to be here with you all, even if it's just my voice as you're doing what the heck you do on Saturday afternoons. I don't know. I'm not actually there. I'm just talking to you over the internet waves and radio waves and whatever waves that you're hearing me through. Sound waves. Anyway, the Silk or Joe Show comes to you courtesy of the Main Street Radio Network. We have been involved with them since it's kind of under them that this show was created. They needed another show to do advertising stuff, and here we all are, purely a product of advertising needs. However, some of their clients do disagree with the content. Some management sometimes disagrees with content. So we appreciate the Main Street Radio Network's support of the First Amendment, despite the fact that this show was deliberately designed without the First Amendment really in mind, rather advertising needs. But anyway, we have evolved over the years since its inception, where it was just Jane Silk, the Silk from Silk or Joe Show title, who was in charge of the program and the sole anchor or the sole host for it for like 4 years before she brought on a co-host. And then the co-host left and I was brought on. So, yay, 13 years of history all summed up in 13, I don't know, that's not 13 anything. Anyway, so you can go to mainstreetradionetwork.com. You can find out more about the show. I'm not sure we have that exact history up there or if it's just whatever the current variation is on it. But it's all up there at Main Street Radio Network, so .com. And we're always delighted to have people come to our website, see our podcasts, and you know what? While you're up there, check out the Al Nathan Show. I guest hosted for him twice this week. You might not have noticed it because I didn't post anything about it when I guest hosted for him earlier this week. I kind of kept forgetting the post that I was hosting for him, but I did host for him twice this week on Tuesday and Wednesday, so you can go back, check that out. I talked about possibly some of the same things I'm going to cover on this program. We'll see what I end up covering on this program. There's a lot to get to. And we are on social media as well. Of course, this show has its own page, GetterGettr.com at Silk or Joe Show. And the Al Nathan Show is on Twitter/X at Al Nathan. And all of us, we post under the Main Street Radio Network's pages, Facebook and Wimkin at Main Street Radio Network, Twitter/X at Main Street Radio. And we want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this show as well. They have a hand in getting this content to you. So, now one thing that I didn't get to on the Al Nathan Show this week is this business bubbling up in Ukraine. I have talked before about my views on the Ukrainian government and how corrupt and anti-liberty and anti-freedom and anti-democracy that place is, right? So, the general question about how we can possibly be supporting such a government in the name of freedom and democracy, despite the fact that they don't seem to represent either of those virtues. Like, for example, they have banned the opposition party to Zelensky's political party. They've had a habit of arresting journalists. In fact, an American journalist died in one of their prisons, and the Biden administration didn't give a crap about it. You know, the same Biden administration that moved heaven and earth to release a basketball player who was caught dead to rights smuggling marijuana into Russia in violation of their laws that she would have known about. You know, we don't tolerate people smuggling drugs into this country or taking illegal drugs into this country. But here this basketball player is Brittany Griner, WNBA, so not even the good basketball league. She's over there smuggling stuff into Russia, and we release like the worst arms dealer, with Merchant of Death is what the guy's nickname was. We release him to get her released. Yet there's an American journalist who was imprisoned for speaking out against Zelensky's government in Ukraine, and the Biden administration didn't do anything about him, and he died in prison in Ukraine. So that's the Zelensky government, and also what the persecution he's launched on the Orthodox Christian faith, saying that it's a product of Russia and just outright banning it and encouraging violence against adherents to that faith. So let's see, First Amendment rights, several of them have been violated by that government. And I don't know if there's anything in the Constitution specifically outlining you're not allowed to persecute political parties and deny their existence if you're the government, but that probably goes under the First Amendment as well. That's all been violated, but here we are saying that we're fighting for democracy? What democracy? He just got rid of it. And not only that, he got rid of half the rest of the First Amendment as well. So, and also the corruption, Ukraine's corruption. I've often speculated that the globalist elites have a hand in Ukraine, and certainly America did. I mean, gee whiz, and my Biden administration official admitted to Congress we had bioweapons research facilities in Ukraine. So it's no wonder that we wanted to secure them. But also there's the corruption between the Biden and his family and Ukraine. This current thing right now, this current corruption probe, what's going on with that? I'm about to get to Biden in a moment, but just to set the current story so that we can see how that ties into the past, the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, he was caught possibly red-handed. There's possible audio tape of this, him being corrupt, him discussing corruption things with his Treasury Secretary. And I've already pointed out how corrupt he is with, how does he get enough money for his wife to go on $1 million shopping spree at Tiffany's in New York. At the same time, Zelensky's in New York begging the UN for more money. Zelensky isn't a bright investor. Zelensky didn't make millions and millions and millions of dollars in his career as a comedian on some late show. He wasn't a Stephen Colbert whose contract was worth $20 million a year. He wasn't anywhere close to it. So how is his wife dropping $1 million at Tiffany's in New York when everyone in his country is starving and he's there at the UN begging for money? He's got plenty of money. If his wife's able to do that, where's that money coming from? And also just the aid that we keep sending to Ukraine that no one's tracking, and it goes nowhere and disappears. So anyway, the Ukrainian government had launched this anti-corruption probe to try and figure out these things. Well, try and figure out the corruption, maybe not necessarily investigating Zelensky directly at first, but then they seem to have caught on to him a little bit. And so he cancels this corruption probe. He does everything he can. Just get rid of it. It's not happening. Bye. See you later. And the Ukrainian citizens rioted at that one. I guess that was the straw that broke the camel's back, not under-equipping their soldiers because that equipment is being stolen and sold by a corrupt government, and not drafting anyone who has two legs to go fight the Russians and ultimately a losing battle because it's just a numbers game. But also, the final straw seems to have been this anti-corruption probe. You can ban the opposition party, you can ban the biggest religion in the country, but boy, don't interfere with that corruption probe, I guess. Or maybe that's just, the straw that broke the camel's back. All that other stuff was stacking on them, and this is just the breaking point of the people. They're only going to tolerate so much. And how that ties into Ukraine's historic corruption is, you might recall, was it 2015? Biden was still president, so it was 2016, 2017. Yeah, it was 2017 where Joe Biden is bragging about withholding $1 billion in Ukrainian aid if Ukraine didn't fire a prosecutor who was, guess what, investigating corruption, this time related to Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden. And Biden, he's discussing what happened in 2014 and 2015, whatever, as he was vice president. And basically what we found out about that is this Ukrainian company, Burisma, hired Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, who had zero experience at anything related to the job he was hired for. But just coincidentally, right after Hunter Biden is hired, suddenly this corruption probe that's going on against this company magically goes away. And not only that, but Joe Biden, he made this demand to fire this prosecutor, and he tried to justify it by saying that the prosecutor was no good. But the thing of it is, just months prior, the State Department gave a glowing review of this guy. Everybody loved him. So the only sin that he seems to have committed was investigating the company that paid Hunter Biden buku cash to sit on the board or something, do nothing with. And suddenly that was enough to cause Joe Biden to threaten to withhold $1 billion in aid. You know, they tried to say that Trump had a quid pro quo with Ukraine, and that was an impeachable offense. Well, here's Joe Biden bragging about withholding $1 billion unless they stopped investigating his son's company. Come on, do I have to say it? If Trump did that, Democrats would be apoplectic. They would have impeached him 30 times instead of just twice. So that's the level of corruption that we've been seeing with Ukraine for over a decade now, probably longer. And so it's really par for the course with that country's government. And again, we've seen that with the aid going on in Ukraine and how that's going nowhere because a lot of it's being taken by the government. And now the probe is closing in on Zelensky. He started getting panicky. He tried to cancel the probe. And an interesting outcome of that is the media seem to start turning against him. European allies seem to start turning against him. Some aid shipments have stopped. And there's talk of replacing him with somebody else. That would have been unconscionable a year ago. So finally, he seems to have crossed the line. Even the international community has. Which is, don't mess with the anti-corruption probe if it's going after you. I guess. More Silk or Joe Show after the break.
On November 13th, 2022, four University of Idaho students were brutally murdered in the quiet college town of Moscow, Idaho. Within the devastated community, questions and fear abound. A new documentary series on Prime Video, One Night in Idaho, The College Murders, investigates this shocking event to uncover the truth. The twists and turns of what happened after the murders, an explosion of online digging, a cross-country manhunt, a dramatic arrest, and a looming trial made this one of the most talked-about stories in recent memory. This was a case that captured the country's attention and fed its paranoia. It was one of the highest-profile stories of the last decade, and it created a lot of social media sleuths who tried to find answers. One Night in Idaho, The College Murders delivers enlightening details from those involved in and affected by the crimes and explores the continued impact and fallout. One Night in Idaho, The College Murders premieres July 11th only on Prime Video.
It's time to hang up that wreath and decorate the tree. Christmas time is here. At least it is on Hallmark Channel as the network begins its annual Christmas in July programming event. July 7th marks the premiere of Christmas at Sea, a new docuseries that follows passionate superfans aboard Hallmark's inaugural Christmas cruise from Miami to Nassau. Hallmark star Ben Ayers.
Hallmark Channel has an amazing fan base, and Christmas at Sea captures the joy, connection, and community that defined the Hallmark fan experience. I had such a blast being on the ship, meeting the fans, and hearing their stories.
Sarah Drew.
Christmas at Sea captures the unforgettable moments we witnessed firsthand. From a surprise wedding to a girls' trip with lifelong friends, it's just a fun way to celebrate the magic of Hallmark and the fans who make it so special.
Don't miss Christmas at Sea, July 7th on Hallmark Channel, and tune in all month long for exclusive countdown to Christmas sneak peeks, fan-voted movies, and much more.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. with PVA staff working inside VA hospitals. No other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. Thank you for being with us here this weekend. And we are joined for this segment by Stephen Wilford. He is a spokesman for Gun Owners of America. He is the archetypical good guy with a gun. In 2017, he stopped the deadliest mass shooting in Texas's history. He is author of A Town Called Sutherland Springs, Faith and Heroism Through Tragedy. Stephen Wilford, always happy to talk with you. How are you today?
Always excellent to be on your show.
I'm glad to have you. So, Gun Owners of America, you all have a couple of items going on. You have this... This injunction that the Biden administration had attempted to put on all private sales, forcing them to have a background check. What's the rationale behind trying to fight this sort of thing? And also, what's the current status? Because the DOJ seems to not be really following through with it.
Well, right now, the DOJ is, they kind of put a hold on stuff, but we want a more lasting situation. We want it where the next administration that moves in cannot just come and undo, you know. So we are filing lawsuits and stuff like the zero tolerance policy and things that if it makes it to the court will stop it for all future administrations and stuff. We are not for a temporary solution but a long time solution. And as with our efforts now to get suppressors and short barrel rifles and shotguns completely off the NFA, If we do it either through legislation or the courts, either one, the Democrats have now shown that they want to actually add a tax back to suppressors, short barrel rifles and shotguns, and this time they want to make it almost a $5,000 tax. And Gun Owners of America is against that, wants to get it taken out altogether of the NFA Act. Go to gunowners.org, sign up.
And now, you mentioned, first of all, the zero tolerance thing. Just to clarify for our listeners here, that's not zero tolerance as in if you fail the background check, you should get a gun anyway. That it's not fighting a zero tolerance policy like that, where currently if you fail the background check, you don't get a gun. Rather, it's zero tolerance of screw-ups by firearms dealers. You know, they forgot to dot an I or cross a T, and suddenly the ATF is raiding them to steal their records.
Absolutely. They shut down so many FFL dealers and stuff for things as simple as, like Ruger doesn't use a 5 in their serial numbers. Instead, they use an F. And I don't know if you've looked at serial numbers. They're very, very small. And if you miss that, and this was a case in a store in Florida, and they put down a 5 instead of an S because, and so it was in their books, and they said that rifle wasn't there in their inventory. They bought them the rifle. They said, no, that's an S instead of a 5, and on your books it's showing as a 5. They were willing to shut that shop down completely over just a really simple clerical error.
Yeah, and the ATF, what then happens is they get the records of the store, and that goes into their allegedly not searchable database, even though, as we saw right after the first assassination attempt on Trump, they really seem to have a pretty easy time of searching that non-searchable database that they use, that they abuse this power to get records for.
You know how ridiculous. They said that all that data is kept in Connex, is full of paper, and it's all paper. It's funny that if their full Connex is full of paper, within minutes of them finding the rifle, they found that paper. So it is a searchable database, and I guarantee you they did that with computer and not hand going through all of those with paper.
Yeah, because they described it as being, you know, these big cargo containers and stuff that are just full of paperwork, like, what, a billion documents or something? They said they had this ridiculously large number that it would defy the odds to just find this particular form for the rifle sitting right on top of it.
Exactly. We're not stupid enough to believe that.
And so now they take this zero tolerance policy to just add to that paper, add to that database that they're searching for. And, you know, that's why it's not, as they try to paint it, as, oh, well, gun stores just need to be held to a higher standard or whatever. That's not the actual reason that they're doing it. And even if so, the gun stores are still ran by humans. Mistakes are going to happen, like the one you just described, where you see a 5 and you see an S and you think it's a 5. I mean, how many people have done that in their lives? I mean, I'm looking at this font right now with the guest list, and the capital L's and capital I's look pretty similar, and the number 1 looks pretty similar.
Exactly. Please go to gunowners.org and sign up and be part of the fight. We are also fighting to get national reciprocity. That's going to be a harder battle because it needs 60 votes in the Senate. And absolutely, you know, we are for everybody, all the good guys out there, to own guns, carry guns, and to make it easier to go from one state to another, as constitutionally it should.
And speaking of that, though, at this other issue, you're doing this injunction against the private sales. Now, at this moment, this Manhattan shooter looks like that's how he got his gun, through a private sale, but that was done but possibly without a background check because he has mental health issues. But at the same time, the guy had a concealed carry permit. So actually the person selling the gun to him could have just seen that and said, well, hell, to get that, you needed to go through a rigorous background check process anyway. So there's just failures of the state there. And that goes to the zero tolerance thing too. Zero tolerance of firearms dealers, yet the government can screw up like that, no problem.
Well, the government is inept in everything it does. We get charged more for bad services for the government. The shooter in Sutherland Springs, that I'm very well familiar with, had 3 felony convictions. The government itself, the Air Force, had put him into a mental institution where he got a less than honorable discharge for beating his son into a coma and for cutting up his infant son's dog in front of him alive. He got several felony convictions and family violence and all of it, and right down to a less than honorable discharge. And yet the federal government never entered him into the NICS system to begin with. So the federal government is inept at everything it does. And 73% of all people that are flagged and denied firearms should be legal firearms owners. They don't have any record or anything, yet they get red flagged. And they have to go back and prove that they are not a felon, and that they, well, that goes around due process. You should not be convicted, you know, or just assumed you're guilty and then have to prove your innocence on anything. And delayed is a right denied.
That's so amazing. You have the zero tolerance policy for gun dealers, but then the government, 73% of the time, is denying legal firearms users the right to own a firearm.
Exactly. Please go to gunowners.org, sign up, be a member. It's only $25 for membership.
All right, Stephen Wolfer, appreciate you being on the show. Listeners, you can go check that out. We're coming up to a break, but we got more of the Silker Joe Show on the other side.
With summer in full swing, a new survey is making waves and raising eyebrows about what really happens in America's swimming pools. The 2025 Healthy Pool Survey finds nearly half of swimmers admit to regularly rinsing their dirty feet or sandals in the pool, turning it into a communal foot bath. 3-time Olympic gold medalist and swimming safety advocate Rowdy Gaines urges swimmers to think twice.
This isn't just gross, it's dangerous. Chlorine is meant to kill germs, but it can't do that as effectively when it's overloaded with, say, dirt, sand, and other contaminants.
In response, the American Chemistry Council and Pool and Hot Tub Alliance are raising awareness of how swimmer habits directly affect water quality.
Everyone plays a role in pool safety. You may be tempted to dip your feet or flip-flops in the water, but find that nearest shower and rinse off there instead. That small step can make a big difference in keeping pools safe and healthy.
Learn more at healthypools.org.
According to the U.S. Army, nearly 50% of military recruits come from rural areas, despite less than 20% of the U.S. population living in those communities. This strong representation highlights the deep tradition of service rooted in rural America, a connection that one company is uniquely positioned to celebrate. Marty Scold Jordan, executive director of the Tractor Supply Foundation, explains about her company's Hometown Heroes program to honor and help.
Tractor Supply knows our active military, veterans, and first responders pay an incredible price for protecting us and keeping us safe. These are our everyday hometown heroes who have answered the call. And so the Tractor Supply Foundation is awarding $100,000 grants to 10 organizations that support these heroes. In addition, we're honoring local hometown heroes in our stores nationwide and offering all hometown heroes everyday savings and exclusive benefits through our Neighbors Club.
To learn more about the Hometown Heroes program, go to tractorsupply.com/hometownheroes.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably?
It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show. Everybody, co-host Joe with you all here this weekend. So kind of picking up with the last segment, how that ended, talking about that mass shooting in Manhattan where four people were unfortunately killed. you know, there's a mass shooting. There's a gun control narrative, of course, coming out of it. You have a Democrat New York assemblyman. You have the governor of New York saying we need to ban guns, ban assault weapons. Well, there's a shooting in Reno, Nevada, which kind of undercuts their narrative about this, the Democrats' narrative. They are laser-focused on assault weapons bans, right? Blasting that across the airwaves, complaining about high-capacity magazines in these so-called assault weapons. Yet, at the same time, mass shooter in Nevada fired 80 rounds from a regular old pistol. The kind of gun Democrats have only talked about banning when they think they are among friends and not among the media. Now, 80 rounds is a bit much for a handgun, but... So the shooter was obviously using different magazines. The capacity you'd expect for this particular caliber he was using is between 8 and 20 for the magazines. Not exactly the 30-round high-capacity magazines that Democrats who have armed guards that are walking armories tell you that you don't need. I mention this because of this point. The shooting with the evil assault weapon claimed 4 lives. The shooting that Democrats ignore because it was done with a gun they haven't targeted in the news media? 3. The kind of gun Kamala Harris on the campaign trail bragged about owning was used in the Reno shooting to take almost as many lives as the gun that Democrats say is a billion times more dangerous. No wonder the liberal media ignored the Reno mass shooting. And no wonder they're ignoring the mass stabbing in a Midwest Walmart. It was stopped by someone with a gun. You're not going to hear about that. Democrat media and party members have signaled or outright stated that these are the only people they feel should have guns. The following people: criminals committing robbery or murder, Venezuelan gang members conquering American territory, security for Democrat politicians, but definitely not security for conservatives, like, say, Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, who faced an assassination attempt. Heck, the security Democrats in the House alone have would be enough to take over a small town, but they tell you that you don't need it, your life doesn't matter. Same thing they say about your kids at school. They don't need security. It's racist to have police at the school. If you want teachers to be armed and want metal detectors, you just want children to die. They have said these things. Meanwhile, Congress has massive protection. If protection is good enough for them, why isn't it good enough for your kids? If a career politician is so important, why isn't your child? Well, to a Democrat, they aren't. The only people Democrats want to have guns again are criminals attacking you and the politician's security team to protect those politicians from those criminals that they unleashed on the population. And as for the Democrats that say they only want to ban certain types of guns and it's not a universal ban that they're going for and you're crazy if you think they want to ban all guns, that's total garbage. They do want universal gun bans. First of all, there have been multiple attempts that they've made to ban semi-automatic pistols and rifles in the Senate in the last couple of years. Semi-automatic pistols like the one Kamala Harris bragged about owning. In 2018, 85% of handguns on the market were pistols like Kamala's that fellow Democrats wanted to ban, and Kamala Harris herself. So if their legislation had passed, 85% of handguns are banned right away. But then Democrats tell you they don't want to ban guns. A study was done that found that between 2015 and 2023, 40% of rifles sold were semi-automatic. So now we're banning 40% of rifles and 85% of handguns, and Democrats say they don't want a ban. They're not doing a ban. You're crazy if you think that they're banning guns. They tried at least twice in the Senate to pass such a ban in the last couple of years under the Biden administration. But they say they don't want one? Have you not even listened to them? Dianne Feinstein, Bill Clinton, between what they've said, every firearm would be banned if they had their way in the 90s. You think Democrats have gotten more conservative since the 1990s? You think banning 85% of handguns and 40% of rifles isn't a ban? Democrat favorite Beto O'Rourke, when running for president in 2020, said he would send police to every home to confiscate the guns that they ban. You think that's reasonable and moderate? More reasonable and moderate than we were in the 90s? And how do you even make sense of the logic here with the timing? Are they doing this to target the Democrat races in Virginia and New Jersey and give them a much-needed message by focusing so much on the mass shooting? Or is it just like a reflex, you know? They see mass shooting and they just immediately go to snap to gun ban because that's, you know, a Pavlovian response that they have. But look at how this message plays on the news right now. On the same news broadcast, you get a story about ICE agents kidnapping poor, helpless, pregnant mothers. And oh, by the way, we want that same government to take all your guns away. Democrat politicians are out there saying out of one side of the mouth, Trump is fascist, ICE are Nazis. And then out of the other side of the mouth, let's take your guns away so you can't protect yourself from them. Let's ban 85% of the guns, of the handguns in the country, and 40% of the rifles in the country, at the same time that we're telling you you can't trust the government, because they're fascist tyranny. Make it make sense. I talked about it on the Al Nathan Show earlier this week, George Orwell on Tuesday's show. George Orwell, in his book 1984, coined the phrase doublethink to describe this, the ability to hold two mutually exclusive thoughts in your head at the same time. Thoughts like the Trump administration is silencing free speech by ending the careers of comedians, the Trump administration is arresting helpless pregnant mothers just for existing, the Trump administration's big beautiful bill will literally kill 100,000 people, that's what Schumer said. So surrender your guns to the Trump administration. How does that work? And, you know, the justifications that they're using for this as well just don't seem to make sense when you analyze them. I mean, it doesn't check out with their own ideology, but it doesn't check out with reality either. The shooter bought his gun from a coworker. In Nevada, that is illegal if it's done without a background check. Legally, they should have gone to a firearms dealer, had a background check done, which would have been done by the firearms dealer, and the firearms dealer certifies that exchange of guns is acceptable. That's how it would work in Nevada state law. CNN characterized it as a friend buying the gun for the shooter, which is also illegal. You check out the forms online, the background check forms and stuff. You're not allowed to buy a gun for someone else. You have to be the one who that gun is being bought for. You can't buy it with the intent to sell it to someone else right away. And it's illegal to bring an AR-style weapon into New York State. That's another law that was violated. And, of course, it's illegal to randomly kill people with it. That's four laws that were violated already. The first law is the easiest one that 100% disproves the narrative. You want to ban all ARs because that will stop people from using them? It was already illegal for the shooter to have one. It was already illegal for him to bring it into New York State. He still did that, and he still got it. Meanwhile, elsewhere in the country, some nutcase firing into a crowd was stopped by a veteran with an AR. There's video footage of that happening. And you're not going to hear that either. So these weapons do have their use, and there is certainly a reason to have a high-capacity magazine. Just look at all that footage that you have online of these mobs of, as the media characterizes them, teens, storming buildings, storming shopping centers, storming stores, and, you know, 20-plus of them. How is someone supposed to protect against that if they are limited in the capacity of their magazine? Or if, in the case of California, the magazine is fixed into the rifle so you can't even quickly exchange it if you're in a situation that involves a mob of people coming at you. Heck, Kyle Rittenhouse faced such a situation where liberal protesters who actually were armed despite it being illegal for them to have guns. How did they get guns? And why are no Democrats raising a stink about that? These left-wingers that tried to kill Kyle Rittenhouse, the 17-year-old, one of them was a sex offender. Actually, I think two of them were sex offenders, but that way, two of them had crimes that would have prevented them from owning weapons, yet here they are coming at him with those weapons that they were forbidden from owning. And Democrats had no problem with that. And as I mentioned, it's multiple assailants. Well, if you look at police reports, usually it takes, 8 to 10 rounds or something at least, on average, to take down someone who's coming at you. And that's a police officer who's trained to deal with that situation. Now you have two people coming at you, as Kyle Rittenhouse faced. And actually, he had three people coming at him. So on average, he would need a high-capacity magazine in order to handle all that, if the averages were to be upheld. So you, sitting in your home, you're not a police officer. Maybe you take your self-defense weapon to the range once a year or something, because you just don't think about it, because you don't want to think about having to use it in such a crisis. Now you're faced with two intruders. According to police statistics, if you're stuck with the limitations Democrats impose, you're dead. Those intruders are going to get you. And if you wonder just how often homes are invaded by multiple people, well, again, you can take a look at the crime figures to justify that for your area. Just because it doesn't happen in your area doesn't mean it doesn't happen in someone else's area. And just because you might be safe doesn't mean you should deny the right for someone else to protect themselves adequately. for the situation that they find themselves in, or situations they might find themselves in if they notice that the area that they live in is spiraling into a crime-infested sewer because Democrats had spent for the 4 years of the Biden administration transferring illegal immigrants, criminal gangs to that area. I'm sure that some people whose apartment complexes were taken over by the Venezuelan gangs that Democrats seem to think have a right to take over apartment complexes with guns kind of wish that they had something to protect themselves with. And certainly if you get caught in that situation, say because of a left-wing prosecutor who doesn't like prosecuting gangs because that's the wrong skin color, or because of the immigration, unlimited, unfettered immigration we have crossing the border that Democrats allow, you know, you might find yourself in a situation where you're dealing with a criminal gang in your area, and you might need a high-capacity magazine. But oh look, they're banned, even though the criminal gang has it, because as Democrats have shown, they are perfectly willing to allow criminal gangs with firearms across the border and to take what they want in the United States at the expense of your life. More Alan, more Silker Joshua after this break.
Looking for a career path with strong pay, room to grow, and real impact? The U.S. energy industry is growing fast with a need to fill 32 million jobs in the next decade. Gabriela Colon is a recruitment manager at National Grid.
When people think of energy jobs, they picture engineers or skilled trade professionals like electricians and technicians. We've got plenty of those jobs open, but we also need professionals in areas like IT, communications, finance, cybersecurity, and more.
You don't need industry experience to pursue an energy career. Ignacio Estella is SVP of Talent and Innovation at AvantGrid.
Our industry values skills-based hiring and provides on-the-job training, making it accessible for those with a strong work ethic and a willingness to learn, even without a college degree. Whether you have a GED, a PhD, or something in between, there are opportunities in energy.
Visit getintoenergy.org to explore different career paths and search openings.
A critically acclaimed docuseries returns to Prime Video with a compelling and powerful new chapter. Shiny Happy People, A Teenage Holy War, reveals teenagers being exploited, manipulated, and converted into soldiers to make America a Christian nation at any cost. The three-part series focuses on the controversial organization Teen Mania, once America's largest youth ministry, which attracted millions through their wildly popular stadium shows. Teens filled colossal stadiums, sang religious rock anthems, swore purity oaths, and embarked on culturally questionable global missions. But beneath the wholesome illusion lies a darker undercurrent, brutal spiritual boot camps, and relentless psychological control, all under the command of a charismatic leader with endless ambitions. The previous installment of Shiny Happy People, which unveiled the truth behind the Duggar family, was the number one most viewed documentary series on Prime Video. Don't miss Shiny Happy People, A Teenage Holy War, now streaming on Prime Video.
With peak car buying season coming up, one thing you want to think about is how does that affect your insurance? So a couple recommendations we have is make sure you're always reviewing your policy. Whether you're adding a new vehicle, adding a driver, or just updating your coverage overall, you want to make sure that you're reviewing your coverage and the price. One way to do that is to consult an independent agent because they can help you navigate the tricky insurance buying process. The second thing is, how do you become more insurance savvy? So a couple recommendations we have is to understand some of the basic terms. The first one is deductible. That's the amount of coverage that's the amount that you pay before your coverage kicks in. And it's important to keep in mind that the higher deductible you take, the lower your premium is. But remember, if you do have a claim, that's the amount that you're going to be paying. So you want to make sure it fits within your budget. The second term is premium, and that's what you pay for the coverage that you're getting. One way to find an independent agent is to go to agent.travelers.com and find a local agent near you.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember,
There is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
To the Silker Joe Show, my co-host Joe with you all here this weekend. Thank you for sticking with us through this hour of the program. Last 10 minutes of the show, well, actually last 8.5 minutes. We're waiting on our guest, but in the meantime, just go with some interesting timing that of some stuff that came out. So right after the USAID funding cuts went into effect, suddenly you get this. You remember that? I don't know if any of you watch it. It's like on at 7 p.m. right after the news on some station or other. I forgot if it's NBC or CBS or ABC, one of those affiliates. There's this program called E, which ended up getting canceled right after the USAID funding cuts. And sometimes E would do a few fluff pieces on the Democrat of the day. And then also you have the Colbert Show, Stephen Colbert's late night thing. That's just canceled permanently after the USAID cuts. So it's interesting, the timing on those. Makes you wonder what else USAID was being used for. In fact, did they find that it was going to Gaza or Hamas? Or I wouldn't be surprised if they found aid money had been going straight to them. But joining us now to talk about how Hamas abuses such aid, we have Pastor Mark Biltz. He is founder and senior pastor of El Shaddai Ministries in Washington State. He's lectured at congregations and conferences in 12 countries on 5 continents, and he's been on the cover of magazines and done numerous radio and TV interviews, and is author of 4 bestsellers, with his latest book being America at War, 2024 to 2026. Pastor Biltz, always happy to talk with you. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Great to be on your program.
Yep, glad to have you. So what do you make of this latest media spin by Hamas where, I mean, there is, the UN has declared that there is starvation going on in Gaza. It's like beyond a certain point of ability to help. But a lot of it is due to Hamas just hoarding the aid for themselves. And if the Gazans get it, it's because they paid extraordinary fees for it. And then Hamas goes and finds this particularly emaciated looking kid to use as the, I guess, the mascot for starvation in Gaza. It turns out the kid doesn't actually have starvation going on. It's some sort of other illness that just makes him look terrible. And, you know, that was such a bad propaganda error that even the New York Times, normally sympathetic to Hamas, had to call them out for it.
Oh, you are exactly right. What people and the nations need to realize is Hamas is the reason for the starvation, if there is any at all. We do see a lot of pictures and photos where Hamas is feasting in the tunnels, or there people are shopping at certain markets. But people have to put all the blame for any of the starvation on Hamas. They're the ones that aren't letting the hostages go. They're the ones that shoot their own people when they try to get access to food. People need to have the right focus.
And what's going on with that is it's not that they're trying to access food in general. It's that there are these independent aid centers that were outside of Hamas's control that were set up.
Exactly.
And Hamas was trying to stop people from going there because selling aid to their own people was profitable.
You're exactly right. You're on top of it. And that is the whole problem. That it's like the mafia. They're like the mafia, the mob, that are trying to control everything that goes on there. And they're the ones who are responsible for all of the ails.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have, while all this is going on, and while the Hamas is being caught red-handed lying about everything from shooting their own people trying to get aid independent of Hamas, and also lying about the casualty figures and in some cases even the starvation, since Hamas certainly is eating well, you have both England and France talking about recognizing a Palestinian state.
Right. Well, France is doing it for economic reasons. They don't want the competition of Israel in selling armaments. But the other thing, the Muslims have been threatening another intifada in France. And, of course, they want their votes. So the big problem is, Macron wants the Islamic votes. He's also afraid of jihad in his own country. And he doesn't like Israel's competition with selling military armaments. So that's the fact.
Well, two of those reasons are political and, I guess, fair game. But the third reason, fearing jihad in his own country, you know, that's outright terrorism right there, blackmail. And the fact that he would cave to such a thing, even if the other two reasons are there, indicates to at least the jihadists this strategy will work. We'll do this on other Western governments. We'll import ourselves, whether or not the government wants us to. And certainly NGOs will help facilitate our entry into the country, even if it has a conservative government. And then we'll just threaten the population.
Exactly. That's what the whole idea. People don't understand the concept of jihad. They have a jihad of the mouth, where the first thing they do is they do protests, and if that gets shut down, then they have or jihad of the hand. They have the jihad of the hand. They want to kill the infidel. If they don't have the power to do that, they go to the jihad of the mouth, protest, and then they go to jihad of the heart, which is plan and wait. And that's what happened at 9/11. They didn't have the strength, so they come to the U.S., they plan, and then they have riots, and then they take down the Twin Towers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've seen hidden camera footage, well, not hidden camera footage, just this guy on YouTube went around Minnesota, I think it was, interviewing Somali Americans, and to a man, every one of them that was shown in the video was saying they prefer Sharia law over the Constitution. So it's not like these people are coming here for, we're told they're coming here for a better life, coming here to adapt to America or whatever. No, they're coming here with a totally different thing in mind, especially if they're talking about Sharia. I mean, you have one in Texas, they're trying to create their
exactly.
own separate Sharia community there, which Sharia is totally against the Constitution. It totally violates the Constitution.
No, you're exactly right. You're so on top of all of this, but that's exactly what is happening. The whole long-term goal is to infiltrate a society and then set up Sharia law and overthrow the government. That's their plan from the beginning. I don't know if you knew this, but the reason why all the college of peoples are rioting, the college students, is because it is Pearson Publishing out of the UK that publishes all the textbooks, and they're owned by Qatar. Our schools have been infiltrated by Qatar, who is the most duplicitous country in the world. They're the ones who print the textbooks that are totally anti-Israel in our grade schools and high schools.
I just kind of assumed it was the ideology of the teachers' unions, because we just had earlier this week the National Educators Association, one of the biggest teacher unions in the country. They removed any mention of Jews being involved in the Holocaust from their handbook. And then they also said Israel's founding was based on violence, which are totally left-wing talking points. So I just kind of thought it was the teachers, but maybe it's the teachers who are picking the publisher.
Well, it's the publisher who's picking the teachers.
It's interesting way
to look at it. They gave Cornell like $2 billion.
Oh, wow. That's a terrible
thing.
Investigate
that. Investigate where these colleges get their money. It's from Qatar through Pearson Publishing.
Well, I have to leave it at that. The music means we're almost out of time for the show. But Pastor Biltz, appreciate being on and bringing up that revelatory point that the textbooks are coming from Qatar and they have such a strong influence on our education system. A foreign country should not have that level of education system, regardless of who.
It's always about the money.
All right. Well, listeners, appreciate you all tuning in as well. Our website is mainstreetnetwork.com. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.